we have on the line, of course, is the ultimate freestyle diva, Sapphire. Sapphire, you there?
Yes, hello, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm great. Feeling great today.
Hey, okay, great. And I guess you're calling us from the East Coast, so I don't want to keep you up too late, so we'll try to make this interview painless and easy to do as quick as possible.
No problem.
But I really do appreciate you taking the time out to talk with us. And actually, we just want to get to know you a little bit here in Chicago. I know everybody knows who you are, but maybe don't know the background. And you know, Sapphire is the stage name, but your real name is Wilma.
And yes, it is. That's my birth name.
and as Wilma, as opposed from Sapphire, we kind of want to know a little. We don't want to go too personal, but we want to get to know how you got into the music and how you were surrounded by freestyle. But just to start off, you were born in Puerto Rico, so you know Puerto Rican, yeah, right?
Yes, I was born in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Okay, great. But when you came to the States, your parents brought you around the age of 10 months, not even a year.
Yeah, I was 10 months old, but I went back every year.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that was a big second home.
So back and forth, the music you listened to obviously would have been like salsa, merengue, you know.
I listened to everything. Yeah. I mean, back in the days, I grew up also in a neighborhood where, you know, they had disco, R&B, jazz, salsa, merengue, hip-hop.
So you were exposed to
it. It was like, I was around with great music.
Oh, yeah, great. But I guess one person that I know you admire was Stephanie Mills.
Oh my God, I love Stephanie Mills. She's actually one of my favorite all-time artists. I remember growing up, I just wanted to sound like her.
Right.
I would imitate her. I would do all these challenge shows, and I would try to choose all her songs and imitate her. Also, Madonna, she's been a big influence.
Oh yeah, the call the chameleon, the one with many.
Yeah, because I always consider myself to be a chameleon.
Right, because she was always adapted to the to each generation, so she's just able to evolve into other music. So in a way, that's what you kind of do too. I see you evolve from not just freestyle, but to different type of dance music, and you really try to stay with what's trendy, I guess, what's in the now. Especially with your eclectic wardrobe, because I always thought, man, you have all the pictures I've seen. You have different outfits and very artistic and very almost feel like you should be on the runway. You know, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, with all my clothes, I was just telling a friend of mine, Ricky, that I might have to auction some of my outfits. I have so many. Maybe I'll just auction some and donate them to, benefit, like, you know, City of Hope. I guess they deal with cancer patients, stuff like that.
Well, that would be nice, and I'm pretty sure, I know my wife here would probably buy half of the outfits. You're actually going to break my bank here, you know.
It's crazy. I have so many. It's not even funny. I have outfits from 1986.
Oh, wow.
From my boy, the soul video. My Love Is On Her Mind cover. I mean, it's just crazy. And then I don't like to wear my outfits, you know, a whole bunch of times. So pretty much I wear it that one time, and then it just goes to the closet, and then I'm just already thinking of another look, you know, for my next show.
Now, is this something that you pick out yourself, or do you have like a wardrobe type of personnel that gets you all your clothes? Because, I mean...
Well, basically, I've worked with many great designers. They have catered to give me certain clothes.
Okay.
I've had people make me personal clothes that's one of a kind. I have stuff that I do shop at certain specific places that I love, and one of my favorite stores, where they have, goth clothes / punk. So sometimes I go there. You know, it all depends. You know, I like to mix match. But I did work with a lot of great designers in my life. So, yeah, I've had people. A lot of my outfits were made.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then when you started your career, you kind of started at like, the age of 18, 19?
Yes.
But yet, you know, younger, I'm pretty sure you were singing since you were a child. When did you discover that, or when did people discover that you could sing and that you should go beyond just, school school choir or whatever it might be. When did they first discover that, hey, you know, this is a talent here?
I think it was actually at the age of like 7 or 8. I think I drove everybody crazy at my house, including my brother. Somebody used to be like, I don't want to hear your voice ever again. Because I would sing for hours, and actually I would sing along with my dad. My dad used to play the acoustic guitar.
Okay.
And he was also a really great singer, so we used to sing together a lot.
Okay. So when did you... did you have a label? Like, did Cutting Records was your first label, or did you go anywhere else before that?
Cutting Records, yes. What happened was Cutting Records was the first label to pick me up. Actually, I auditioned for the song, my first single, which was called Don't Break My Heart.
Okay.
21 girls actually auditioned for that, and I was lucky number 21. And then after that, I was signed to Mercury Polygram. I put out 2 albums with them, and then I was signed to Sony Disco, and then I was signed to MCA, but I never got to put out an album with them. I actually departed from the label before releasing an album with them.
Okay. So when you did,
so I've been around.
Okay, yeah, it seems like that. But you know, your first record was like in 1986. And
yes.
At that time, you didn't realize that you were in what they call a freestyle genre. I mean, it wasn't really freestyle back then.
No, it wasn't. It was, well, when I first started, it was just dance music. Wow. And then I guess they changed it to Latin hip hop.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even really understand what that title was when they started calling it Latin hip hop.
Yeah.
A lot of artists back then were like, well, wait a minute, I'm Latin, but I'm not hip hop. I don't rap.
Right. I never liked that term, Latin hip hop. I know they called it dance music, and when freestyle started being called that, it was more like because you know, you kind of dance, and it was dance music, but it was more like freestylish, where you just kind of just, I don't know, how would you put it, you just were able to move without having to be choreographed, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
But
well, then around the 89, I think it was, or 90, by that time they started calling it freestyle.
Yeah,
and they gave it another title.
Yeah.
So it went to different stages.
Right. And here in Chicago, when freestyle was coming about, it was more like, Chicago's known for house music because that's where it was created. But a lot of the freestyle artists and the songs that were played in Chicago were kind of infused in house music. So for me, you know, I used to have to, you know, I loved house music. I always loved house. But you know, I had to kind of wait for a freestyle song to come along. And one of the songs that I've always heard from yours was Boy, I've Been Told. And that is a classic.
Wow. Well, you know, it's funny because I remember performing at the Riviera back in the days. Like, it was, I think it was 1987, something like that, 88. And I remember going there, and I was actually performing alone. There was no other artist, you know, booked to do that night. And I got there, and I didn't realize how many people were here. I really thought that nobody was going to show up to this event. And it was a sold-out concert, and I never forget. I had to sing Boy, I've Been Told twice.
Oh, really?
I was like, okay, one more time, here we go. But, yeah, the crowd went crazy. Chicago has always been a great, you know, place for me to perform. I have great fans there, and I love Chicago, so I can't wait to go back, you know?
Yeah, well, obviously you're going to come back. I mean, you're not going to be exactly in Chicago, per se. But
no, I'm not. But it's close, though.
Close enough. They still call it the Chicagoland area. And, of course, what I'm talking about is the 25th anniversary of Freestyle in Hammond, Indiana, which is April 2nd, coming this Saturday.
Yes.
And believe me and my wife got our tickets. We're set.
Well, then I have to meet you guys, don't I?
Oh, yes. If we can make that happen, I would love that.
Yes, I would definitely make it happen.
Well, that'd be great. And the main reason why we bought the tickets, now I love all the other acts, believe me, but the main reason we bought our tickets is when we saw you on that flyer. Says, my wife just said, gotta get the tickets, period. Because, you know, we have never seen
you. Oh, my
before.
Goodness, thank you. I've been flattered, you know?
Yeah, we've never seen you perform before, and a lot of times, I'll tell you, with my wife, she would... you know, anytime we talk to the promoters and they say, oh, you know, who should we bring out to Chicago? First thing my wife says, Sapphire. Right off the bat, you know. she wouldn't even let them finish. Bring Sapphire. So that's...
Oh, gosh. That's so funny. I did Studio 63, is it called? Yes, I did that a while back, too. But that was a few years back. I went to Chicago and I performed at Studio 63.
Oh, that's great. And but you don't only just sing. You also kind of co-wrote your music. Are you still writing songs?
Yes, I am. Actually, I did co-write some of my hit records. I also collaborated with other writers. Right now, I'm actually getting ready to put out my new single, which should be released sometime late May, first week of June.
Okay.
I'm doing the last touches to it, and we're going to start doing the video. So, it's not English, it's Spanish, but I call it Pop en Español, and it's a really great song, and I just can't wait to show it to the public and share it with everyone.
Oh well, I would love to have it whenever you have it available.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'd love to play it for the fans. Definitely. You know, and I want to bring up a funny story that I heard you said once before in another interview. You had performed in front of like some executives, and I believe the song was "Don't Break My Heart." And apparently, it's one of those moments that you kind of like forgot the lyrics. Do you remember?
Oh, yes. Actually, I did a show. Oh, that was a long time ago. And I was performing, and I don't know what happened to me. I just totally blanked out, and I forgot the lyrics to the song, so I just started mumbling the words.
Right.
I'm a good... I can mumble really well and stay on key.
Okay. So you got through it.
So I got over it, I got over it, and I at this point, I don't even think they realized I was doing that, believe it or not. I'm glad that none of the fans were there, because that would not have been cute.
Right. So, but these were executive, like maybe another contract or another album?
Yeah, these were really executive people, like radio people. They were coming down, executives from the label. It was really like a private party for them. It wasn't really for the public, so.
Oh, okay. And, now I want to get you to the part of now Sapphire. Sapphire the artist. Actually, where, because your name is Wilma. So where did Sapphire come from? Where did the name come from?
Actually, after my first audition, I was sitting in the car with the label guy and a few other people. And, he was like, you can't use Wilma because it doesn't sound like a good stage name. And I said, well, I started throwing names at him, he was throwing names at me, and then I told him, he said, well, what are your favorite colors? I said, just talking, out loud, and then, Sapphire. I said, oh my God, I love that name, but we can't spell it that way. I said, we have to change it. So we changed Sapphire.
Quick and simple, your favorite color, and they don't want to spell
it. Actually my favorite color. It went from my favorite color to my favorite stone, and then that was it. They were like, that's who you are, Sapphire. Should I assure him?
Great.
But, that's the end of it,
Yeah, but even before Sapphire, you were actually in a group. I mean, you weren't just...
Yes, actually, I was. Wow, that stuff. I sure was. I was in a group with a friend of mine, actually, named Doris, who used to work with Cynthia.
Oh, okay, right.
And they were both working in the same job, and I remember going by there, and I went to pick up Doris, and she was like, look, this is a friend of mine named Cindy, you guys, we should hook up, we should do a group, and I said, we should. So we started this group, and we used to practice, actually, at a school, and it was really funny, because in those rehearsals, Spider, they used to be part of TK, with
right.
K,
okay.
Kayao, they would both be there, and they would be coaching us,
okay.
which is pretty funny, and we were all young, and of course, we had all these ideas, and finally, I guess things didn't work out as a group. I decided I really wanted to go solo. I was always meant to be a solo artist.
Okay.
And I saw myself a little different than being in a group. I feel that sometimes being in a group, I felt confined, to doing what I wanted to do. Not that I didn't appreciate the two other girls. I loved them to death.
Right.
So when I left the group, I always told, Cynthia, if I ever do something and I ever get into business and it happens to me, I'm going to come looking for you. And, 2 years later, it happened, and then, I told her, I can get you a record deal. And she was like, no way. I said, yeah, come meet me today in the house. And she did, and I called Mickey from Mick Mac, and that's it. That was history. She got signed to them, and she put out her own music.
Right, right. But you and Cynthia kind of did a song together as well, too, right?
Yes, we did. Actually, when I worked on like Bringing Back the Groove album, it was all about bringing back grooves from the past and also, you know, collaborating with people that I had worked with in the past. And Cynthia was one of them. I said, we want to group together. We never got to do anything together, so I thought it was like the right time to do something that I thought was going to be special and that the fans will like. So, and then not better than having Tony Moran produce it, who I worked with also in the past. The collaboration would have been great, and we did it, and
right.
It was good.
Oh, great. That sounds great. And now that I think about it, I have something that you might remember, because I've talked to you on the phone one time before, and you might remember this. Back a few years back, if you remember the Willie Valentin show,
you know, yes, I know the Willie Valentin show. Actually, I know Willie for years, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you actually did an interview over there. I think you went to his home and did an interview.
Yes. Actually, I know Willie because Willie used to work with an engineer. He's been an assistant engineer to another engineer who used to work with my husband, Kenneth, here.
Okay.
And it's so weird, you know, how life is. And they used to work... Fever Records at the time had a little studio and they would record there. And at the time, Kenny was working with a group called Around the Way and Willie was one of the assistant engineers.
Okay.
So that's how I met him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so they, I guess you guys were able to hook up that interview, and I had called in, and I don't know if you remember this, but I had asked you if you could, sing a chorus line to Crimes of Passion. I don't know if you remember that, and you couldn't...
Oh, my God. You know, I got to tell you, my memory is good, but it's not great.
Okay.
And there's a lot of things I don't remember, and I'm not always on point.
Well, anyways, I guess you hadn't sung that song in such a long time that you actually didn't remember the song. So you kind of actually had to... I guess I kind of had to help you along with the lyrics.
I know. You know what it is? I got to be honest with you. When I've recorded so many songs through the years, and I've got, like, literally, I'm not even lying, I have, like, literally 100 songs that I've recorded over the years that have not been released. And it's just, when you're writing and then you're singing these songs, unless you go back to refresh your memory,
right.
It's like they're forgotten, you know, you just forget. Like, it's crazy. I can't even, a lot of stuff in my first album, I can't remember. Like, I only remember the ones I normally perform, but when I have to do one that I haven't performed, like, I want to make you mine. I'm like, oh my God, I got to go practice that song. That's the verse.
Right.
It's embarrassing, but it's true, because I haven't listened.
If you could remember, you actually, you know, at the end, you started remembering the song, you sang it great, and you sang it beautifully, so.
Oh, thank you.
But remember,
something good came out of that.
But remembering that show, I also remember that you were doing a documentary. Was that ever completed?
Actually, what happened with the documentary was that was put on hold, just like my calendar, because someone who was very much involved in that passed away, and he was actually my designer, and he was very much involved in putting both projects together, and he actually passed away a year and a half ago, so I didn't get to finish it, and which was pretty sad, because he played a major part in, you know, doing all of this with me, but I plan to finish it now. I just needed a minute to regroup myself.
Okay.
Especially because it just brings back a lot of memories of him not being there.
Okay, yeah, I brought that up because, you know, I remember that, and I never knew if we ever got that done, and I've been kind of anticipating to see that documentary.
Yeah, very soon. You guys are going to get to see everything.
Okay, great. But on another note, now that I'm starting to get like flashbacks. I remember I remember you doing a cameo type of movie cut called East Side Story. And
oh my God, yes, it's a butterfly hat, right? It looks like I'm flying away.
I had to bring that up because I do remember also hearing that you know the outfit that you had on, or the hat, the so-called
classic hat, the butterfly.
The butterfly. Apparently, your son is the one that picked that out for you.